top where you
are. I think last week's session made its impression on you.
Mm.
The lurid story of David and Bathsheba, and the response it evokes from God. David appears to get away with it. He's not going to be punished. He still keeps Bathsheba. Poor old Uriah lies a moulding in the grave. But he doesn't get away with it. God said to him, you won't die, but the sword will not depart from your house. You have brought blood upon your family. And so now let's have a look at sheet number 4, right hand side of the page. Doesn't need more of an introduction than that. Let's get on with the meat of it. Incest and fratricide. Isn't that a challenging title?
That will keep them interested.
Yeah. Now it happened after this. Now does that mean after the Bathsheba incident? I'm not at all sure. Ul'Avshalom ben David achot Yafa. Now Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful
sister.
Full sister. Because David has a number of wives, and so a number of his children are full brother and sister, and some of them are half brother and half sister. So he has this exceptionally beautiful sister, and we see that beauty goes in the family of David. Ushma Tamar, her name was Tamar. Now Tamar, of course, is a Judahite name. Tamar was the name of the daughter-in-law of Yehudah, whom he treated abysmally, but eventually she manages to get recognize his responsibilities. And she has her twins, Peretz. One of them is the immediate ancestor of King David, of course. Mm-hmm. So
it's
Tamar,
a family name, isn't it?
It's a family name. It's going to come out again. It's a family name.
Tamar. Date, isn't it?
Pardon? Yes.
Date.
Yeah. Vayeha Amnon ben David. But Amnon, the son of David, her half-brother, falls in love with her. And it's a real passion. Vayetzel Amnon lehitchalot. And Amnon was distressed to this, to the point of making himself ill. Bavur Tamar achoto, on account of Tamar, his sister. Ki betulahi, because she was a virgin. Oh, you think, she was a virgin, therefore all the more fanciful. No. Because she is a virgin, she will be guarded all the more closely. Consequently, vayipale beinei Amnon la'asot la'me'uma. It seemed impossible in the eyes of Amnon to do anything to her. In other words, had it been the virgin daughter of anybody else, it would have been a much simpler solution. But the virgin daughter of a king, she will be chaperoned everywhere. Ul'Amnon Rea. Now Amnon had a friend, an Iago, Ushmo Yonadav, whose name was Yonadav ben Shim'a, the son of Shim'a, Achi David, David's brother. So it's his first cousin. But Yonadav ishchach ha'meod, and Yonadav was a very clever man. But I don't think this is being said as a compliment.
But is Hacham not usually used as a compliment?
Oh, it is a compliment, but you can have evil genius. Vayomelo, and he says to him, Madu ata kacha dala melech baboke baboke. Why, O son of the king, are you growing thinner every morning? Alo tagid li, won't you tell me? Vayomelo Amnon, and Amnon says, Et Tamar achot Avshalom achi ani ohev. I love Tamar, the sister of Avshalom, my brother. Notice it doesn't say my sister.
No.
See, that's a little psychological point. But it is his sister.
Because she's only a half-sister.
Only a half-sister.
Yeah.
And they are forbidden. It's true, Abraham could marry his half-sister, but under Noahite laws that was permitted. Vayomelo Yahonadav. So Yonadav says, I will give you advice. This is now he's going to show his cleverness. Shchav al mishkavacha. Lie on your bed, vehitchal, and pretend to be ill. Uva avichal irotecha, and daddy will come to visit you. Ve'amarta ilav, and you'll say to him, Tavona Tamar achoti, please let Tamar, my sister, come, v'tavreini lechem, and prepare food for me, V'asot ala einai, let her make it in my presence, et abiria the food. L'man asher ere, so that I can observe what's going on. V'achalti miyada, and I will eat from her hand. And that seems to be a very strange request. Well, he wants a cooking lesson? No.
Wants to know he's not going to be poisoned.
That's it. He's not well. Is it possible he's being poisoned? Therefore, I want somebody who I can trust implicitly to prepare the food under my nose, and I know that I can eat it. That's a perfectly reasonable request, is it not?
A convoluted way of
that. Convoluted? Well, he's a clever man, you know. They could do with somebody like him in the government. He's a clever man. Vayishkav Amnon, and so Amnon took to bed. Vayitchal, and he pretended to be sick. Vayavo Amelech Liroto, sure enough, the king comes to visit him. Vayoma Amnon el Amelech, and Amnon says to the king, Tavona Tama Achoti, please let my sister Tama come. Utala Beble, the Naishte Libavot, and let her prepare some dumplings in my presence. Vevrebi Adam, that I may eat from my hand. That was an unusual word. What we can see from context, that this is for food that was boiled. You've made the dough and popped it in the pot to boil it, as opposed to frying or baking, and presumably because that would be easier to digest. And why do we call them dumplings? Well, the word levav means a heart. So it could either be something that was hearty or heart-shaped. Either way, the author of the book here is having his own little game, because the same verb, labev, means to inspire, excite the heart to passion. Libaktini, it says in Shia, you arouse my heart. So there's a little subtext here. And King David suspects no ill. Vayishlach David el Tamar habayit aleimon, he sends to Tamar at home saying, Lechi na beit Amnon, go now to Amnon's house, achich your brother, v'asilo abiria, and prepare food for him. The poor unsuspecting girl, v'telech Tamar beit Amnon, achicha, and so Tamar goes to the house of her brother Amnon. V'u shochev, and he's lying there on his bed. But he kached habatzek, and she took the dough, vatalosh, and she kneaded it, vatalabev le'enav, and she made it into dumplings in his presence. Now, picture this, I don't want to be too sensual, but you've got this beautiful nubile young lady standing in front of him, kneading the dough. That is a very sensual thing to do. He's watching her body movements. Okay, we're all old enough to understand these things. Vatikach et hamasreit, and she took the pan, the grill, vatitzok lefanav, and she poured them out before him. Vayimayin lechol, but he refused to eat them. Vayomer Amnon said, Hotziu kol ish me'olai, let everyone here get out. Vayitu kol ish me'olai, and everybody went out. Now at this point, one should be a little suspicious, but Tamar is a sweet, unspoilt girl. Vayomer Amnon el Tamar, and Amnon says to Tamar, Havi'i habirya hacheder, bring the food into my inner chamber. Ve'evre miyadech, that I may eat from your hand. Vatikach Tamar et halevivot, and so Tamar takes the dumplings asher asata, which she had made, vatavei le'Amnon achia chadra, and she brings them to Amnon in his bedroom. Vatagei she'lav le'echol, and she brought them near to him to eat. And now the story is slowing down. We're getting it ball by ball. Vayachazek ba'ar, he seizes hold of her. Vayomelan, he says to her, Boi, come, shichvi mi achoti, lie with me, my sister. Right, so this is not, he hasn't gone off his head, he knows exactly what he's doing. Vatomelo, she says to him, Alachi, no, my brother, al te'aneni, don't seduce me, don't force me, ki lo ya'asechem bi Yisrael, for such a thing cannot be done in Israel. The Egyptians might do it, Jews don't. Al ta'aseh et anavala, do not perform this base act. Vaniana olichet cherpati, because if you will, where shall I take my shame? Ve'atati yekach anan avalim b'Yisrael, you will be regarded as one of the low lives of Israel. And then she tries a ploy, you know, put things off a bit. So now, daber naila melech, speak to the king. Kilo yimanaini mimech. I'm sure he won't withhold me from you. Of course, he won't withhold her. If David would hear what he plans to do, he'd throw him out. But that's what she's up to. And Amnon is not that stupid. V'lo aval lishmo b'kola, he won't listen to her. V'yechezak mimena, and so he seizes her. V'yaneha, and he abuses her, he coerces her. V'yishkavuta, and he beds her, he rapes her. And of course, this was an act of passion. The love here was nothing more than unbridled, naked passion. With the result that having had his way with her, by Yisna Eha Amnon Sinagadola Meod, Amnon now detests her. Well, she's the object of his shame. Kigadola Sina She Sneya Meava She Aiva. Because the hatred he now feels for her is greater than the love he originally felt for her. Vayomela, Amnon says to her, Kumi lechi, get out of here. That's nice. He is an animal. But then again, you know, it's not unknown for the sons of royalty to be animals, is it?
Mm.
Brought up to be spoilt, pampered, have everything they want. The Croix de Seigneur. But Tomilon, she says to him, Al odot ha'ra'a gadola hazot. No, no, because this evil is greater me'acheret asher asita imi l'shalcheini than the former one you did to me by sending me away now, dispensing with me like a disposable nappy is even greater shame than your act of rape. And he doesn't want to know. And he summons his servant. And he says, look at the language he uses. Shilchana etzot me'alai. Throw this creature out. Ahutza, into the street. Une'ol hadelet akareha, and slam the door after her. He is an absolute cad.
People call their sons Amnon.
Yeah, shows you.
They call their daughters Tamar.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, they call them Amnon.
That name was never known in Iraq. I've never heard the name Amnon before.
But I've only found it among Oriental Sephardim, funnily enough. I haven't found it with them.
Really,
can't think of Ashkenazim called Amnon.
Really, it certainly didn't exist in Iraq, other countries, I don't know.
They were all using Arabic names in
Iraq.
Well, yeah. Do you know an Amnon?
No.
Well, I know a Rabbi Amnon.
Ezra and Sion were very popular, so it's not always Arabic.
His brother.
Oh, really? That would show you. Okay, good, thank you. The priest.
Sorry, interrupted.
That's all right.
Ve'aliha.
Ve'aliha ketonet pasim. Now she was wearing a ketonet, a tunic of pasim. This is a phrase that we know from the story of Joseph. The coat of many colours. But it probably doesn't mean that at all. Pas means a palm. And a ketonet pasim may be a coat which had sleeves coming down to cover your palms, thus indicating you did not do manual work, you were aristocratic. So little Joseph didn't get his little hands dirty, whilst the brothers had to go out and dig dirt.
That's right.
Okay? So she's wearing the garb of nobility. Ki chein til bashna benot ha-melech ha-betulot, Me'ilim, because this was the regulation clothing for virgin daughters of a king.
It doesn't actually say virgin daughter.
Does. The word betulot is virgin.
Where is it? I don't see that.
Yeah, look carefully. Kichein tilbashna benot hamelech habetulot.
I'm sorry, I haven't got that.
Don't worry, Stan, it's okay. The story is so exciting, it slowed you up a little. Why you're saying, Meshavto. And so, his servant takes her out, tachutz, into the street, v'na'ala delet achareha, and slams the door after her. Not sagar, which is the close, na'al. He seals it up, bolts it, don't you hear?
Meili means servant?
Masharto, masharet. Is a servant.
So what is Me'ilim?
No, Me'ilim is the preceding. Me'ilim means clothes. That's why I translated it.
Okay.
It was the regulation clothing for the virgin daughters of a king. Vatikach Tama Efer al Rosha, and Tama puts dirt upon her head. Ukutonet apasim ashaleha kara'a, and she tore her long sleeved garment. These are the acts of mourning. Vatasem yadal roshan, she put her hand upon her head. Vatelech haloch v'uzaka, and she went crying out as she proceeded. And quite clearly, somebody hears her. Vayome eleha avshalom achiha, and Absalom, her brother, says to her, Ha'aminon achich haya imach. Has little Amnon, your brother, been with you? Now, why would he make that? Why would he make that, draw that conclusion? Because he probably was all too well aware. He saw the way Amnon was looking at her. He saw the way he was salivarizing. And he was well aware of the fact that Amnon harbored a forbidden passion. Was he with you? And what is it? Doesn't even wait for an answer. So now Ahoti, my daughter, Hacharishi, keep quiet about it. Achichu, he is your brother. That doesn't mean to say I had a right to do it because you're brother. We don't want to wash our dirty linen in public, do we? This is the royal family. Al Tashiti et Elibeich, whatever I said, do not set your mind to this matter. Don't you worry over it. And this is very ominous. Don't you worry about it, dear, because I will deal with it.
He'll take charge.
Okay? Tamash, and so Tamar now sits there desolate in the house of Absalom, her brother. She lived in the king's palace. Because it says the king sent home to bring her.
Oh.
And she won't go back there. She can't go back there.
Right.
She's too ashamed of herself. She's used goods.
Would they miss her?
Oh, David hears of it. You think David doesn't know she's not here? But David, the Hamelech, the David Shema, and King David. Notice he puts in the King David there. That is very subtle.
Thank you.
I know he's the king.
Thank you.
But King David hears of it. It's Kol HaDavari Ma'ele. All these things. And he's absolutely furious. And what does he do about it? Absolutely.
Thank you.
Nothing. Not nothing much. Nothing. He doesn't call him to account. He doesn't reprimand him. He does not take action. David, the king of Israel, the man who is the font of justice, who should be ensuring that the law is applied to all, allows this terrible event in his household and does nothing. Now, David is a complex man, and it is not unknown for great men to be remiss in bringing up their children, disciplining their children. Not unknown, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that element. I wonder, because I can only wonder, does David think to himself, it's starting. I was warned that I won't get away with what I did.
that I took this woman and bedded her, and that it led to the death of an innocent man. This is already the hand of God operating against me. But by failing to act, that's only going to provoke somebody else to saying, the king doesn't do the law, I'll take the law into my own hands. So let's read on. V'lo dibeh Avshalom en Amnon l'meira v'yatov. Absalom, however, doesn't say a word to Amnon, not for good or for evil. Doesn't tell him off, doesn't say a word to him. Ki sane Avshalom et Amnon, because Absalom detests Amnon, al davar she'ina et Tamar achoto, because he has raped Tamar, his sister. So I'm saying nothing, because revenge is a dish best served cold. And so it happened after 2 years. Shnatayim yamim.
Oh, 200 years.
No, not 200 years. He didn't live that long. Shnatayim is 2 years.
2 years.
Two years. So you see, he's allowing the dish to get shnatayim. Very cold.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, he's forgotten about it. He's gone over it. So. Yeah. Nobody will suspect what he's up to.
Yamim, yes.
Nobody will suspect what it is.
Days,
huh?
Days, two
well,
days.
Well, we talk about 2 years of days.
No, shanash, not
yeah. It's the ancient idiom, 2 years of days, 2 full years.
Ah, okay.
In fact, miyamim yamim means from year to year, not day to day. Vayhi yihyu gozim la'av shalom v'al chatzor asher im Ephraim. Absalom had his shearers in Baal Chatzor, which was in Ephraim, in the territory of Ephraim. Notice they're still thinking in tribal terms. Now, sheep shearing was an occasion for celebration. You know, every form of the harvest, you bring in your harvest, so it's an occasion to celebrate. Sheep were an important commodity. Your clothing came off their backs. And so, to celebrate the sheep shearing, Absalom will quite legitimately make a party. Vayikrav shalom lechol b'nei ha-melech. And so Absalom innocently invites all the king's sons, all his brothers and half-brothers. Vayavo Avshalom el ha-melech, and Absalom comes to the king, vayomi, and he says, hinena gozizim la'avadecha, we're in the sheep-shearing phase, yelech na ha-melech va'avadav im avadecha. Let the king and his servants come with your servant. You and all the family come and join me. Now, that's quite an entourage. You're going to need big catering for that. So the king says to Absalom, Albany, no way, my son. Alna neilech kulanu. Don't let all of us go. We don't want to make life difficult for you. By Yifrot spoke, but Absalom presses him. V'lo aval alechet. He won't go by Rachel, but he blesses him. Absalom's playing a clever game here. By Yomer Avshalom. So Absalom says, V'lo. So if not, Yelechna itanu Amnon achi. Let Amnon, my brother, come with us. When the king says to him, why should he go with you?
Was he suspecting?
Oh,
something?
You may rest assured he's suspicious. Mm. David suspects others of doing what he could do himself.
Yeah.
Absalom presses him. And Absalom can twist his father around his little finger. As we shall see. Vayishlach ito et Amnon et kovane ha-melech. And so he sends Amnon and all the royal children with him. Well, it starts off by saying, no, you can't have all of that, too much. Now all of a sudden he's sending all the royal children. Because he thinks, if I send all of them, Amnon will be safe. He's not going to do anything in the presence of the others. He doesn't know Absalom. Vayitzav Avshalom et ni'arav l'mor. Now Absalom instructs his son, saying, Riuna, watch out. Kitov leiv Amnon b'yayin, when Amnon's heart is good with wine, in other words, he won't really know what's going on. V'amarti aleichem, and I say to you, haku et Amnon, v'amitem oto, smite Amnon and kill him. Al tirau, don't be afraid. Halo ki anochi tziviti etchem, because it is I who am commanding you. Now, what that means, I'm not sure. Is he saying the blame will be mine? Could be. The blame will be mine.
What? It can't be the children's.
Well, because he will say, the men could only say, we did what our Lord and Master commanded us.
I see.
Or is he saying, I'm the next king?
Mm-hmm. More like it.
I'm the heir apparent. Mm.
But he did try it, didn't he?
Well, we'll see. Chizku, therefore, take courage. Be you live nechayel and be men of Allah. Vayasu nare Avshalom l'Amnon, kashetziva Avshalom. And the young men of Absalom did to Amnon what he commanded them to do. Vayakumu komane amelech, and all the sons of the kings rose up. Vayirkavu ishal pirdo, and every man rode on his donkey. Vayanusu, and they fled. Why?
They thought they'd be next.
They thought, why would they think to be next?
Because it was a coup.
Yeah. If he wants to take over the throne, what do our Orientals do, right the way down to the Turkish Empire? You eliminated all other children of the king, so there would be no pretenders.
Even though he was going to have the elders.
Doesn't matter. They immediately interpreted his action as a coup. Mm-hmm. So they run for their lives.
Either drowned them,
no,
or
idea.
Blinded them,
no.
Or the
no, slaughtered them, yeah. Kill them.
No half measures.
No.
They blinded them, or drowned them, or locked them up.
But Avshalom has no intention of harming his brothers. He merely wants to avenge his sister, to do the justice King David had failed to do. And so, brother has killed brother. Fratricide. The blood is being let in David's house. Vayehema baderech. And as they were on the way, rumors. Vashmua ba'el David le'mar. Rumor came to David saying, Hikka Avshalom et kol b'nei amelech. Absalom has slain all the king's sons, alone. No tamayim echa, not one of them is left. Nothing like a bit of rumour mongering. By Yakum Amelech, the king rose up, by he cried, Begadav, tore his garments, by Yishkav Arza, and he sat upon the ground, Vacholavadav Nitzavim Kurei Begadim, and all his servants stood around him with their garments torn. But look, Iago steps into the scene again. Vayan Yonadav ben Shima Achi David, and Yonadav the son of Shima, the nephew of David, said, Vayomer al Yoma Aduni et kol ha'niarim b'nei ha'melech ha'imitu. Don't say it, O king, that they have killed all the young men, all the sons of the king. Ki Amnon levado meit, only Amnon is dead. Yalpi Avshalom Hayata Suma mi Yom Anoto et Tamar Achoto. Literally, because this was put upon Absalom's mouth from the day that Amnon raped Tamar, his sister. In other words, this was his expressed intention. So what is this guy doing? He's the one who counsels Amnon to rape his sister, provides him with the perfect scenario. And now the viper in the grass is stepping up and saying, ah, this was his expressed intention from the day he raped his sister. You were party to that. You were an accessory to that fact. These are the Argo. And one may wonder what's in it for him.
Obviously some sort of threat. He wanted to dispose of him.
Well, maybe it's a jealousy. Familial, you know, sibling jealousy. After all, he's the he is a member of David's family, but he's a nobody. Mm. Whereas his cousins are princes. Who knows what maybe is his motive here. One thing is certain, he's a rat. So therefore, please, don't entertain the thought for one moment that all the sons of the king are dead. Only Amnon is dead. Vayivrach Avshalom and Abraham fled. That's phrase. Absalom flee. He is now fratricide. The king would have every right to put him to death. And he can't take a chance that his absolute love for Absalom will override that fact. But in the meantime, the young man who was the lookout lifted up his eyes. A whole bunch of people coming on a roundabout route on the side of the mountain. And Yonadav, now playing the good man's role, said to the king, look, the sons of the king are coming, just as your servant has said. He now wants his brownie points. Didn't I tell you? When he finished speaking, the sons of the king came, they lifted up their voices and they wept. You bet they wept. This is the aftermath of terror. And the king and all his servants wept. A very great weeping. They wept continuously. In the meantime, Absalom fled. Vayelech al Talmi ben Amichur, Melech Geshur. And he fled to Talmai, the son of Amichur, the king of Geshur, who was his grandfather. He's taken refuge in the court of a neighbouring king.
His grandfather?
Yes. This was his mother's father. Yeah. Remember, kings have choices. You wed or you war. David did both. Solomon did one. He wedded them. Right? And he paid for it. Vayitabel al bano kol hayamim, and he wept, he mourned for his son all the days. We shall see it won't be forever. Avshalom barach, Absalom then fled. Vayelech Geshur, came to Geshur. Vayisham shalosh shanim, and he was there for 3 years. So I've got David weeping, but he's in an emotional cleft stick, because he hasn't lost one son, he's lost two. He absolutely dotes on Absalom. And it will be almost be his undoing. His love for Absalom is irrational. And so, Vatechal David Amelech Latzeit El Avshalom. Now, Vatechal is a feminine, David is masculine. We have to put a word in here. Vatechal Nefesh David Amelech. Now, the expression Kala Nefesh means to yearn. Kalta, we have the expression Kalta Nafshi. Nichsafav Gam Kalta Nafshi, it says in the Psalm. My soul yearns. And here, David is yearning, Latzeit El Avshalom, to go out to Absalom, Ki Nicham Al Amnon Ki Meit, because he had come to terms with the death of Amnon. This is David. When the child dies, c'est la vie.
What's that? Anything more about Tamar?
Not a lot. No.
Absalom rebels.
Wait, we've now you've got to get your next set of texts. I'll take these back if I may. And whilst I'm doing so, could I have a drink of water, please? Thank you. Yes, I'll then hand out my next set of texts. The story continues. Thank you. Right, so let's put these.
There's a thing by Shaddai mourning for Absalom's death.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not aware of that one. Thank you very much.
We have a print by Shaddai. David, David mourning Absalom's death.
So there should be no confusion. There are different
things. But he's not dead yet.
Who was?
In the picture.
Oh, we've got him. Oh, no.
In the picture, he's hanging.
We've got a long way.
I know what you mean.
We've got a long way before he's kept hanging about.
Yeah.
Long way to go. A lot of horrible things must happen first. Don't be impatient.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Why do we hold David in such esteem? Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, beautiful poetry. Can it not be that the historian who wrote this was anti-David?
There is a suggestion, I must tell you.
He was an anti-David party.
There is a suggestion put forward by modern scholars that this, that these stories are put in by an anti-Davidic author.
Yeah, exactly. How I see it.
Yeah, I mean, all right, that is an explanation. I think there is an alternative explanation.
No,
I think there's an alternative explanation. I suggest it to you. The Bible tells the truth so that we should not deify our monarchs.
Mm.
We have to see them as tri-dimensional, full-blooded, and occasionally obnoxious human beings. Moses wasn't allowed to be deified, that's why they don't even know where he was buried. Mm. So that may be the reason, I'm not sure. It's a thought. Mm. Let the story continue. David has a very faithful servant, a man who will do his bidding and his dirty work without question, who, when David says get rid of Uriah the Hittite, he doesn't say why, well, no, get rid of him. Vayeda Yoav ben Tseruya, now Yoav the son of Tseruya knew ki lev ha-melech elav shalom, that David's heart, his mind was on Absalom. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoa, so Joab sends to Tekoa. Vayikach Misham Yishach HaChama, and he summons from there a wise lady, Labriut. Vayomei Leha, and he says to her, Hit Ablina, pretend to be in mourning. Veliv Shina Big Day Evel, dress yourself up in widow's weeds. Val tasuchi shemen, don't put your perfume on. Vayit kesha ze yamim rabim mitabelet al meit, behave like a woman who's been mourning for some time for a dead person. Uvat el amelech, and you come to the king, v'dibarte lav kadavar ze, and you'll say the following to him. Vayasim Yoav et adavarim befiha, and Joab gives her the script. Literally, put the words in her mouth. This is where the phrase comes from. Put the words into her mouth. Vatomi Shah Tekoi Tel HaMelech. And so, the woman of Tekoa says to the king, Vatomi Al HaPeh, she falls upon her face out of the ground. Vatishtachum, she prostrates herself. Vatomi, and she says, O Shia HaMelech, save, O king. That's a cry no king may ignore. Save, I invoke royal justice. Vayomila HaMelech, the king says to her, Malach, what's up? Vatome, and she says, Avvalisha almana ani. I am indeed a widow woman. Vayamoti shi, my husband has died. Ula shivchatecha shnei vanim, your handmaiden had two sons. Vayinatsu shneihem basadeh, and the two of them fought in the open. For Ematzil b'neihem, and there was no one to intercede between them. Vayaku ha'echad et ha'echad, and one killed, smote the other. Vayamet also, and killed him. Fratricide. Mm. That sounds familiar. But that's not the end of it, says our widow lady. V'hine kawa kol ha'mishpachal shivchatecha. The whole family is now risen up against your handmaiden. Vayomru, and they said, Tani et makei achiv, give us the fratricide, the brother slayer, una mitehu, so that we can kill him, benefesh achiv, asher harag, for the life of his brother whom he slew. Now, this is perfectly legitimate. According to the Torah, it's spelt out in black and white, that if somebody kills another person, even if it's accidental, a member of his family may avenge his blood.
But if they're fighting,
Goyle Adam.
If they're fighting,
no, it could be. I said accidental. If a man is cutting a tree, and the axe comes off and kills the man standing next to him, the Goyle Adam, the blood avenger, can kill him. And that's why they instituted the cities of refuge. Where the homicide, the manslayer, could run, as opposed to the murderer. So, they are claiming...
Only manslayer, sorry.
No, anyone who commits it, even a murderer. Even a murderer. If the relatives get to him first, that's it. But, she says... They're not being pious here. They've got an ulterior motive. V'nashmida gamet ha'yoresh. That way we will destroy the remaining heir. V'chibu et gachalti asher nishara, and they will thereby quench my one remaining coal. I've only got one coal left to warm me. And by the same time, Levilti sim, leishi shame u'sheirit al pnei adama. They will ensure that my husband has no name or remnant upon the face of the earth. And where that happens, what happens to his property? What happens to the land? It'll go to the mishpacha, it'll go to the family. That's why they want to kill him. She's told a very convincing story. She could work for the BBC. And David the king says to the woman, Lechi leveteich, go home. Vani atzave alaich, I will issue commands concerning you. They won't do anything. It does give us an indication of David's power and authority, that when he will say, don't lay a finger on someone, then it overrides the accepted practice. And so the Kohite woman says to the king, Alai Adoni HaMelech Ha'avon V'al Beit Avi, let the guilt, O Lord my king, be upon me and upon the house of my father, V'HaMelech V'Chiso Naki, and let the king and his throne be innocent. What do you mean? Well, actually, what she's saying is great substance. He is preventing an ancient right to avenge blood. Blood had to be avenged. Even if it was an homicide by a person or persons unknown, you had to avenge it. You took a calf down to a dried up wadi and you chopped its head off And you said, Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh, our hands have not shed this blood. So there's a blood guilt here. And she says in her gratitude, even though you are preventing the vengeance, let the resulting guilt be upon me and not upon you.
But it's a fairy tale anyway, isn't it?
It's a fairy. She can afford to say this, but she's being terribly convincing. I mean, she's getting an Oscar for this performance. And as a result of this, by Yomea Melech, the king says to her, Hamdabe Elaich. Anybody says anything more to you, girl, Vayaveto Elai, you bring him to me, Velo Yosef Od Lagat Bach, and he won't interfere with you anymore. I'll make him an offer. He can't refuse. And at this point, she says, Vatomia. And she says, Yizkor na hamelech et Adonai Elohecha. Let the Lord, my King, remember the Lord your God. May harbat goel adam l'shachet, in order to prevent the blood avenger shedding more blood. Below yashmidu et b'ni, so they should not destroy my son. What on earth is she saying here? What's she doing to him? Let them remember. Now the verb zachah also means to mention. She's saying to him, I do believe you, your majesty. I do, I'm very grateful to you. But swear an oath. I want you to swear that this is what you will do. And what does David do? By Yomer, and so David says, Chai Adonai, as the Lord lives, im yipol misar b'nei charetzah, not a hair of your son's hair will fall to the ground. She made him swear. And he has. She really is pushing it, isn't she? The king gives you his word. No, I want an oath. And David is prepared to give it. And why is she doing this? She is pushing him to the nth degree to see what he will do to prevent a man being killed because he killed his brother. Get the point? She's doing this to confront David with a reality here. Even though the guy deserves to die, you're protecting him. You've even sworn an oath that no one should harm him. So far, so good?
Yeah.
So far, Tomer, Aisha, the woman then says, Tadabena shivchatecha el Adoni HaMelech davar. Permit me, your majesty, to say something to you. Vayomen, he says to her, Dabeiri, speak. Vatomi Aisha, so the woman says to him, here she's being real chutzpah. Lama chashavta chazot alam Elohim. Why did you suspect the people of God to be guilty of such a situation? That they would come and take the remaining child of a widow woman and kill him in the name of avenging blood so they could take his property? Why did you believe my whole story here? But you did. Umidaber HaMelech HaDavah HaZeh Ka'ashem. But in speaking this way, your majesty, then you are as one who is guilty. You condemn yourself out of your own mouth. Levilti hashiv amelech et nitcho, by the king failing to bring back his outcast. You were prepared to save the imaginary man who killed his brother, and yet you won't countenance your own son for the same offence. Checkmate.
Not the first time that David was entrapped.
Oh, he's been entrapped by Nathan and Avi. And this lady really does put on a performance.
And later Bathsheba conspires with the...
Oh yes, we'll have another game. David is capable. She is this genius that is impulsive in his conduct. If he'd stop and think, he might not do it. But he doesn't stop, he doesn't think, and he does it. But this is entrapment. And I haven't included the whole of the story here, because what happens next is, he may be entrapped, but he knows darn well. And he says to her, "Tell me, did you have anything to do with this?" "Yes, you can pull the blind over one eye, but not both of them." He realises he's been very nicely ensnared. He says, "Has Joab anything to do with this?" And she admits it. And so the story continues. By Yomer HaMelech of Joab, the king says to Joab, "Hinena asita d'davar hazeh. You have arranged this little scenario. So now Lech Hashem et Hanai et Avshalom, go bring back Absalom, my son." Vayipol Yoav el panav, and Joab falls upon his face, altar to the ground. Vayishtachu, and he prostrates himself. Vayivarech et HaMelech, and he blessed the king. Vayomer Yoav, and Yoab says, "Hayom yadav dacha ki matzati chen beinecha, Aduni HaMelech. This day I know that I, your servant, have found favour in your eyes, my lord king. Asher asa HaMelech et avdo avdecha, in that the king is acting upon the word of your servant." And so Vayakom Yoav, Joab arises, Vayelech Geshur, and he goes to Geshur, Vayave et Avshalom Yerushalayim, and he brings back Absalom to Jerusalem. And of course, the question we may ask is, why has Joab got himself busy in all this?
He influences Absalom.
Well, not so much influence, but nobody influences Absalom, if the truth be known. But, no, there's something else. There are two possibilities. Number one, he is genuinely dedicated to King David, and he can't bear to see the man suffer and distraught over it. He's agonizing. Alternatively, or maybe, and also, Absalom is the next king. Doesn't hard be on his good side, does it? I'll put the future king in my debt. It would seem that he is the heir apparent. It seems that he is the heir apparent. Okay, not necessarily primogeniture, as we shall see. The king had the right to elect who would be his successor. But there's no doubt in anybody's mind
that
Absalom is his little darling. And that will become painfully manifest. But David gets it wrong. He gets it wrong. He is capable of getting it badly wrong. Vayomer HaMelech, the king says, "Yisov el beito," let him go back to his own house. "Ufanai lo yireh," he may not see my face. "Vayisov Avshalom el beito," and so Absalom goes back to his home. "Ufanai HaMelech lo yireh," doesn't see the king's face. That was a bad move. If you brought him back, reconciliation. But by bringing him back so he can stew under house arrest, virtually, with no reconciliation, you are only inciting him to even worse conduct.
But why did he not want to see him? Since he yearned for him.
That shows the complexity of this man's character. Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer.
Well, do you think he didn't want to see him because if he came before him, would have to sentence him to death? I don't think so. David's conduct here...
giving a bad impression to the rest of the people.
Then why bring him back, leave him where he is, let him sweat it out where he is. He gave a better impression... Yes, but then by bringing him back and not punishing him, you are condoning his actions. Leave him where he is. Bringing him back is no solution, unless you wish to give him a royal pardon. royal pardon means reconciliation, and he doesn't. And Absalom, the spoiled brat, will justifiably not like it. But first of all, we are told something. We are told that Absalom is Mr. Hollywood. Avshalom lo haya ish yafeh b'chol Yisrael la'alel mi'od. And there was no man in Israel to be more praised for his beauty than Absalom. Maybe that's why Daddy loves him, as a chip off the old block. Mikaf raglo v'af kod kado, from the tippy of his toes to the pate of his head, lo haya bo mum, he was without blemish. Uva galcho et rosho, when he would have a haircut, for yamikets yamim li yamim, because every now and again, the end of a year, he had to have one. Asher yigaler, he would have a haircut, literally shave his head. Ki kaved alav, because his hair was too heavy for him. Gilcho, so he cut it. For shakal et siar rosho, he would weigh his hair, matayim shkalim b'eben amelech, and it weighed 200 shekels of the king's weight, some 40 pounds plus. Now that's a lot of hair. You could stuff a sofa with it.
Couldn't see his face.
No. But we're being told about the hair for a good reason. Thereby hangs a tale. Vayivaldu Avshalom Shloshavanim Uvatachat. Absalom had three sons and one daughter. And guess what he calls her? Ushma Tamar. Hi hayata isha yafat mareh. It's running in the family. And this little Tamar is also exceptionally beautiful. Vayeshev Avshalom Yerushalayim Shnatayim Yamim. And so Absalom sits there kicking his heels for 2 years in Jerusalem. Ufna Melech Lora. Doesn't see the king. Vayishlach Avshalom El Yoav. And so Absalom sends to Joab. Lishloach Oto El Amelech. In order to send him to the king. You brought me back here. You acted in my interest. Now take it to the next stage. But, Joab doesn't want to come. He sends a second time. He doesn't want to come. You know, Joab was prepared to go so far, but no further. Quite clearly, the king doesn't want to know. He's not prepared to put himself in bad odour with the monarch. So what does friend Absalom do? He can be a very, very interesting person. Vayomi alav adav, he says to his servants, Riuchel kat Yoav el yadi, look at the Joab's field, which is next door mine. Velo sham siorim, he's got a nice lot of barley there. So lechu go vatsit, to have a ace and set it on fire. By Yitzitu Avdei Avshalom et Achel Kabaish, and so Absalom servants burn up his entire field. That is not a neighbourly thing to do, but it shows us what Absalom is capable of. And it certainly conveys the message. By Yachum Yoav Vayavoy El Avshalom. And so Joab arises and he comes to Absalom Abita to his house. Vayomer and Absalom, Lama hitzitu avadecha et achelka sheli bayit. Why did your men burn up my field? Vayomer Avshalom el Yoav. And Absalom said to Joab, Hine shalachti elecha leimor. I sent you saying, Bo hina, come to me. I ordered you. Vashveshlecha utecha el amelech, I could send you to the king leimor, saying, Lama bati mi Geshur, why on earth did you bring me back from Geshur? Tov li od ani sham, I would be better off if I was still there. There I was a political refugee. Here, I'm being treated like a dog's body. Now, let me see the king's face. Vim yesh bi avon. Excuse me, if I'm guilty of any sin, Remitani, put me to death. Excuse me. I want to confront the king. this has gone on long enough. If I'm guilty, put me to death. If I'm not, accept me. Now, it seems rather strange that he should say, if I'm guilty of anything. He is guilty of something. Mm. He killed his brother. But in his mind, Avshalom does not see that as guilt. It's justifiable homicide. Mm. And there's the implication. You, David, did nothing about it.
You left it to me.
And therefore you left it to me. And I've done it. See the implication? And so the story continues. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech. Joab comes to the king. Vayagid lo. And he tells him. Vayikra el Avshalom. He summons Absalom. Vayavo el HaMelech. He comes to the king. Vayishtachu lo el HaPavarza. And he bows down to him to the ground. Lifnei HaMelech for the king. Vayishach HaMelech la Avshalom. And the king kisses Absalom. Reconciliation will all live happily ever after. Oh no, we don't.
No.
Because Absalom may be reconciled, but the reconciliation is by no means complete. David has treated him with disdain, and that has rankled in his guts for 2 years. Quite apart from having been out of the country. For 2 years, you let me sit there in Jerusalem like a dog's body, and everybody knows it, and then all have a laugh up their sleeve at me. David, by doing this, has built up a massive reservoir of resentment. And we can see that Avshalom is a man who knows how to vent his spleen. And that's what precisely we shall see. Next. Is that okay, my friend?
Can I ask just one question?
Sure.
There's nothing more said about Tamar.
No, I don't think so. No. She quietly disappears from the scene.
She probably goes and lives in a convent, doesn't she?
I think more likely
they marry her to someone.
No, you've got one or two choices. Maybe they marry her off. Maybe. But it's quite likely she will now remain stained goods under the protection of her brother, where no one can touch her. Mm-hmm. That's where he goes, and what does he say to her? Stay here, darling. This will now be your home. Because to me you are my beloved sister. I will look after you. I will care for you. Clearly, Daddy would have done nothing for you. Sad story.
And she will live in that shame. She,
yes, of course she does.
She'll go with the story.
She lives with the... She is now soiled goods. I think that's what you call it, don't you? Yeah. So she is now soiled goods par excellence. Amnon is dead and buried. Absalom is back in town.
But I think, never mind kings, but people behave like that when they have...
Well, I would be a little less kind than you. We are dealing with the dysfunctional family of David, and they don't dysfunction more than that. David is malfunctioning by taking a woman who's already married and murdering off her husband. That's dysfunctional.
Yes.
Okay. Amnon, don't get more dysfunctional than raping your own sister.
I think this is worse.
Pardon?
It's worse.
Of course. And instead of there being law and order at the hand of the king, malfunction, and Absalom has to engage in fratricide. Take the law into his own hands. Let's put it this way. I admire our royal ancestor. I'm not too sure I'd want to be his neighbour.